Well, this sermon is very personal to me today. It excites me, puts a little extra spring in my step, and it might go a few minutes longer, so if you'll indulge me. I'm talking about thin places today, thin places everywhere. And that term is generally attributed to the Scottish clergyman George MacLeod in the 1920s and 30s. And he was the founder of the Iona community on the island that bears its name just west of Scotland. But long before that, the ancient pagan Celts and later on Christians used similar language to describe mesmerizing places like the windswept island of Iona or St. Bridget's Well in Ireland. Heaven and earth, the Celtic saying goes, are just 3 feet apart. But in thin places, the distance is even shorter. Thin places are where the eternal world and the physical world meet up and mingle. And they can also be found in everyday life. You don't have to make a journey of hundreds of miles. They may be even in your own backyard if you look for them. And while you may not find the place, the term thin places in the Bible, there are nonetheless many sacred places and encounters that could be considered thin, as you heard in the scripture this morning from Psalms about God's holy mountain. It's hard to know where to start today on this vast subject, and it's even harder to know where to end. The experience of the holy is not limited to a place, and yet it is fair to say that it can be found in particular places in your life. And if the term thin place is new to you, think about holy places and holy experiences. I came across an article or two lately that brought this subject into focus and influenced me today. The first one is written by Rachel Young, entitled Thin Places, Here, There, and Everywhere. Rachel is the associate pastor of spiritual formation at a church in Houston, Texas. And she writes, in the summer of 2004, I traveled 2 months in Scotland, and 6 of those weeks were spent volunteering in the Iona community on the island. It has a long, rich spiritual history, and the story begins in the 6th century with a Christian monk and missionary named Columba. Columba was Irish-born, and there are several stories and explanations for how he ended up on the small island off the coast of Scotland. But she says the one that I like and remember best is that Columba was exiled from Ireland. And he and his companions traveled by boat across to Scotland and landed only after they could no longer see their homeland. And when they landed, they buried their boats, knowing they would never return. And Columba wept over his exile, turning the stones green, as the legend has it. And as the story goes, Columba's Bay is still a source of beautiful green stone. Rachel traveled to Iona with a heart hollowed out by fatigue and difficult relationships. And she volunteered in a community doing chores in exchange for room and board. She spent 6 weeks cleaning toilets, hanging laundry, chopping vegetables, herding sheep. There's a lot of sheep on Iona. Framed by morning and evening prayers, and her soul was slowly healed. In thin places, the boundary between heaven and earth becomes even more permeable. And we encounter God in fresh ways that can startle us out of our inattention. and we are often transformed by the experience. I don't know if the ancient Celtic Christians limited the term to thin places, to certain physical places only, but she says, I can certainly understand it if they did. Iona felt different. It was a place of peace, vivid dreams, of greater attunement to the divine, of transcendence. God journeys with us wherever we go, whether we are surrounded by natural beauty or breathing in the smog of the city like she did. And she quotes a poem entitled Circuit that you heard read earlier this morning, our reading from The Pattern of Our Days. The poem concludes with the line, God has no favorite places. There are no special things. All are God's, and all are sacred. Rachel says, I carried this poem in my bones when I returned to work at a nonprofit in Los Angeles, and it kept me awake and attentive to God's presence in the places that both wearied and wounded me. And I've had this conviction since thin places are everywhere. If we only pay attention, we will find them. Thin places are places of transcendence, of moments when God feels nearer and clearer to us. They can be physical places, but they can also be expressed in relationships of grace and forgiveness, in moments of prayer, or even in expressions of sheer delight. The ground that you stand on can be transformed. Thin places in this way are subjective experiences of the divine. Not everyone is going to see or experience the same thing, but is based on a person's ability to perceive them. And she concludes, but here's the thing. Now, nearly 20 years after I volunteered on Iona, I have this strong urge to return. Fatigue has once again dulled my senses to the presence of God, and I long for healing and transformation. And I think going back to the island, while it certainly won't be the same experience as before, will certainly be a sacred experience in its own way, because there is something holy about the island that goes beyond one's subjective experience. So thousands and thousands of pilgrims over the centuries have come and gone to Iona from all over the world. And the whole island is only 3 square miles. And they encounter God in various ways as they make their pilgrimage. Iona's thinness comes from a shared history of many people making space and time for the divine in a place that has become sacred. It's a communal thin place. And sometimes we need community. Most of the time we need community to remind us that God is present in our world. Without each other, our awareness may not be as keen. There are as many thin places as there are people, and maybe more. The Camino in Spain is a sacred experience of many. The Holy Lands, or ancient sites of indigenous peoples in the southwestern U.S. Muir Woods, closer to home in Sequoia, would be on my list of thin places. And there are trails that you may walk or hike in a favorite spot in your garden where you pull weeds. Sometimes it helps to get your hands dirty because soil is sacred. Those of you who like to toil in the garden, you know that soil is sacred. So much so that I brought a packet of soil back with me from Iona when we were there in 20, 12, and I sprinkled it on the ground outside our house so that every time I stepped outside, I knew that I was stepping on soil that came from a holy place. It was always beneath my feet. The Episcopal priest, Elizabeth Keaton, offers her own experience. And she writes, "I am kneeling on the beautiful soil of Iona and adding my prayers to the prayers of millions of pilgrims that have prayed over the centuries there." And I imagine it's the same, the Holy Wall, the wall in the Holy Lands. She says, "I am walking in the beauty of creation all around me, that I might find the beauty of that which God has created in me." So it created a mirror image. "And I am here to find parts of myself that I never knew existed," she said, "but I recognized immediately when they were discovered or uncovered or recovered. I am here to be more connected with the soil of creation in the world and to be made whole myself." And I think that's one reason so many people go on pilgrimage, to be made whole. They all have their own personal reasons. In that thin place, she said, "There was a history of what was, but what is to come, and I get an inkling of more of who and what God wants me to be. There I know that I belong because of the thin experiences I've had. I know that no matter where I am at home." End of her quotes. Well, it's been a journey for me over the years, maybe even a pilgrimage. Sometimes I had the feeling that I was out of place or without a home. And it was a feeling deep within my bones that engendered some wanderlust at first and a period of deep introspection second. And sometimes I felt out of step with my own peers and not always at home in my own denomination, the Presbyterians, who seemed to value doing over being and making plans over prayers. And sometimes I wonder secretly if this is part of the reason that all major denominations have experienced a decline for decades. Spiritual hunger is real, but many people are not being fed. Maybe that's what some people mean when they say that they are spiritual but not religious. They go to church and then they go away empty. People are hungry and sometimes they don't even know what for. As St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in Thee." There are certainly more years in my life and ministry behind me than there are before me. But that doesn't mean that the best is not yet to come. Iona woke me up in 2012, and it often still brings me to tears when I think about it. I see a picture, or I read a poem, or see somebody post on Facebook, and it could have happened at other places and other times. But it happened then and there. Look for those places and those times and situations in your own life. There is something to be said for specificity. It was a thin place, a holy place. And I always said, I've never been to the Holy Lands, but I've been to a land that is holy. We were supposed to go back this summer, but things were canceled due to the pandemic, and we're planning to go back next summer along also to some of the sites in Ireland. None of us know how many birthdays we have left. None of us know how many arrows are left in our quiver. But this much I know. I want to aim for the mark every single time and not waste a moment There's no time to waste, especially when you get to be our age. And by aiming for the mark, I mean putting yourself in a place and position to experience God wherever you may be and whatever you may be doing. It might be at the grocery store. It might be while you're pumping gas or sitting out in your backyard and listening to the birds sing. You don't have to stop what you're doing, but it is important to do it in a special way, in a mindful way. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." Friends, we are not put here on this earth to remain the same. We're put here to be transformed. On a walk recently, I saw a yellow-bellied sapsucker, and it stopped me in my tracks. And there we were with a mutual gaze of admiration for about 5 seconds. Provide the space for God to enter, or more precisely, take the time to notice the God who's already there. As the psalmist says this morning in Psalm 84, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than live in the tents of wickedness." I think the psalmist was describing a holy place, a thin place. Or the words from the prophet Micah, "In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that he may walk, that we may walk in his paths.'" I hadn't really noticed those passages before, but some would call the holy mountain a thin place. I'd like to close with a passage that caught my attention from a poem by T.S. Eliot from Little Gidding in his 4 quartets as he describes his own version of a thin place. He says, "If you come this way, taking any route, starting from anywhere, at any time or for any season, it would always be the same. You would have to put off sense and notion. You are not here to verify, instruct yourself, or inform curiosity, or carry report. You are here to kneel where prayer has been valid. May you find your place to kneel, a place where your prayers have been made holy by all the pilgrims who have gone before you and all of those who will come. Amen."